Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Rogue One, a Star Wars story, one minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Chrysanthi Tan from... Oh, my God. Every time I'm on here, I'm like, I need to have my list of things to say from ChrysanthiTan.com.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Welcome back, Chrysanthi Tan, returning champion.
Oh.
That's an accurate description.
Sure.
Thank you.
We're talking about minute 101 of Rogue One, mm-hmm. a Star Wars story. It starts off with Bodhi telling Cassian he's not hooked up to the comm tower. And it ends a minute later with the all-terrain armored children's transport brushing off a missile attack from Baze.
Hmm.
So Rogue One.
Rogue One.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a it's kind of a big responsibility that Cassian is delegating here.
To?
In general, to Bodhi? I think I wrote. Yeah.
Or to K2SO to cover them.
K2SO covering them is more in line with... You know, that seems logical, but he's...
Don't you think everyone's asking a lot of everyone this entire movie?
Yes. Okay. It's not, I'm not faulting him for it. I'm saying, oh, he's kind of handing off a big responsibility, and then it keeps kind of going. The chain keeps going, and then it proves the point of the movie, in a sense, is that, you know, it takes a lot of people. Yeah. No, it takes a lot of people working together to make stuff happen sometimes, and it's a good teamwork thing.
It shows how important trust is, because it's I don't remember if we've gotten to this minute yet, but when Chirrut asks if Cassian has a nice face or a kind face,
we did that already.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good, right. It's like, well, what if he doesn't? Like, it's that's the person that's doing the job.
Yeah, totally.
No?
Right, you gotta fully vet your candidates. I think that's the other lesson. But he's giving Bodhi kind of it started at the end of the last minute. It's basically, you know, find a way to like he's almost saying like I'll do the easy part of just finding the book in the library and you figure out how we're going to get it out, almost like, and it's a good but then trim down, come back down, and we have a good kind of character moment with Jin and Kay. The way you moved your head, I'm like,
No, I thought it was a nice character moment.
Okay.
It was unexpected, continually unexpected.
It's a really beautiful musical moment. Hmm. Maybe the best one in the 5 minutes.
I'm glad you went straight there, because we haven't really talked much about the music. I know there was a lot of discussion about the music around before the movie came out, because mm-hmm. it was going to be,
like test a plot. Substitution,
yeah,
right?
Test plot. And then at the last minute, they're like, no. Michael Giacchino, who I think for the most part, I don't think we've had a negative thing to say about the music so far. There's been parts where it's like, oh, yeah, that's great. And then I know it's never come up that it's been like, I wouldn't have done that. So it's good.
Yeah. It goes from being like, oh, that was a nice little musical moment, to not really noticing it.
So. Right. But I'm glad you went there. So let's
I think that spot specifically is a really standout moment. And I'm trying to think of the best way to demonstrate this. Well, since we're at my place and I have my violin literally right here, I can. If people listening go to minute 101, you'll hear that there's a single sustained violin note and there's no chord surrounding the note. And can you hold this?
Sure.
Now I'll play it on my violin first because it's just one single note.
Okay.
So, which is a big deal to have just one single note in Star Wars, because without the context of other notes, a note means nothing. There's no such thing as like, this is a happy note. Like C's are usually happy, or like F's are kind of sad. That's not a thing. What?
E minor isn't the saddest.
Oh, see, but you just said E minor.
Oh, E minor
is a
note.
Key.
Oh, there you go.
You can't have E minor unless you have other notes that inform it. Otherwise, it's just like a point in space and there's no other planes intersecting.
Yeah.
So without one note, with only just one note playing, it's like a blank slate. It's very tense. Like you don't know how the composer is going to fill it.
Right.
So basically, we're just waiting for a harmonization. Hmm. Okay, so this is the note. It's a C sharp. And they're kind of like holding it like that. Mm-hmm. And then, so that note on its own, it could go so many different ways. It could go, or it can go like, or it could go like, there's, that note is in so many different chords.
Right.
So you don't know the character of it. And the way it unfolds, the way the harmony unfolds, times perfectly with K2SO's line. And the part where it opens up is when he shows that, when he says that his line, basically.
Right.
So it goes like this. It's holding it. And we're like, how? What are you going to do? And then it goes. It establishes itself as kind of somber, and then it goes. So. And then it's K2SO. And it does this amazing D major chord, which it doesn't matter that it's D major, but what's most important is the function that chord serves in the like relative key that we're in. So what that chord is, I don't want to like music theory everyone, because it doesn't, I feel very strongly that the names of techniques don't matter as much as like what we're interpreting from them. Otherwise, it's just people throwing around terms on the internet and people feeling like less smart because of it. So I don't want to do that. But if you do know stuff about music theory, that chord is called a Neapolitan chord. And it's used very sparingly. It's a really different way. It's an unexpected chord change. It's something that's used, it's actually used in the Indiana Jones theme at some point. It's used in some other themes, but when I hear that chord, that kind of signifies for me some sort of like adventure or something new is happening. And I don't know, I was obsessed with those chords when I learned about them in college, and I would go through, it's why I became a Decemberists fan.
Oh.
Because one of their songs had a Neapolitan chord, and I just was like, I just learned about that.
Huh, that's cool.
So there you go.
Interesting. I hadn't, and that plays in with that that theme that just came up. So that it's the, you know, one piece alone, you don't know what it's going to do. And then when you have a team, when you're, it's like, you know, not that a note is delegating responsibility to a chord, but it's only when the chord comes together that you know where it's going. So.
Oh, and right when he says continually unexpected, it's when the chord hits. It's so great.
It must be such a different, I know, like I always say that when we go see a Star Wars movie, I'm watching it like as a moviegoer, but then I'm also a podcast host who's like, oh, look at that character in the background. How does that impact this other character and stuff like that? Like, so you must do that, but like with music, like part of your brain is always going to be paying attention to the music that most people are just like not even noticing because it's just background music.
Yeah. When I saw Rogue One, I immediately came home and wrote, you know, just blurted out my thoughts in a private blog. Like I didn't post it or anything. I was just like, I want to get my first reactions out because I'm never going to have my first reactions again.
Right.
I'm just curious what right now is coming out. And I found it, and in it, it's like I'm so distracted by the music. I'm so distracted by the music. I don't even, I had no opinion for like the, for like 2 years.
just about the music.
I knew that it would be that way too, because I, when you're just too close to it, you know, we've had a lifetime to love the other themes. It's not even fair to compare, the Giacchino score. Mm-hmm. You have to, it wasn't until I took a break from Rogue One and listened to it again that I felt like, yeah, I know this. This is familiar. Like this is my warm blanket that the original trilogy is.
Right.
But right off the bat, no way. Right off the bat, all I could hear was the things that were different and the things that were the same, but then warped. And I was just like tripping. It was really hard. That was what I was thinking the entire movie.
Yeah, that's the. I feel like a couple of times that it has come up, it's been like, oh, this almost seemed like in the Krennic invader scene where it starts to do the Imperial March and then it like takes a left turn. It's like, duh, 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 you know, like, and it's there's a couple of things like that, or even just the opening, you know, like duh, 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 where it doesn't quite go. You made a face like you knew very well exactly what I was talking about, even though I did a bad. I see there's sheet music being procured.
It's not real sheet music. It's just like a graph, basically. Just out of curiosity, I was trying to explain, I was doing this on my live stream yesterday because I do like a weekly live stream for my patrons. And I was like doing, I was saying how anyone can analyze music even if you don't know about music. That's like my mission in life, is like to make it accessible to everyone. So I was just thinking about it like constellations, sort of like when you learn about constellations, you see a bunch of, I don't know, at school they give you a paper and it looks like all these cool things. And then you go and look at the sky and you're like, what am I looking at? It's just a bunch of like dots everywhere. Yeah. And that's, but if you just map out like kind of the way,
musical themes.
Yeah, it's just the melodies and there's no notes on there. It's just whether the theme is rising or falling. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of like draw trends from that. The main theme from the original trilogy and the Rogue One theme, like have pretty much the same shape.
Yeah.
And like a music person would be able to say, of course, because it's they have the perfect fourth, the perfect fifth, the perfect fourth. But even if you didn't know that, you could look at it and be like, oh, there's like basically three mountains that are happening and they're ascending. And if you do the same thing with all the like imperial themes, they have a totally different shape.
Do you know any of this guy's other music?
Giacchino?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know he's done a lot. Do you have other favorites or noteworthy ones?
Absolutely. The two Disneyland rides that he scored.
Oh, I didn't know he's
iconic.
Oh, I totally just, you know, I think I know the first time I remember seeing his name was on Lost, you know, watching Lost every week. And it's like, and then I know him as the guy from Lost. But if I haven't been paying too much attention to what else he's done.
And Inside Out, Pixar.
I think he did The Incredibles. I think that was the first one.
He did that as well.
Yeah. I think it's like. That's like a jazzy 60s. Right, yeah.
I covered a song from the Inside Out. And so he's getting some of my royalties. But he also wrote the music for Space Mountain and Soarin' Over California.
But Space Mountain's been around for a long time, right?
They replaced the theme like, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Oh, really?
10 years ago. Maybe not 15, but
wow.
Yeah. It's really, really popular, well-loved. It's like it's an amazing theme. It's really succinct and it just goes perfectly with the ride. It's very thrilling. You have to listen to it. Just look up Space Mountain.
Okay.
It's great. It's so good.
Now I'm terrified of the thought of going on Space Mountain. You think that I'll be safe just listening? Will the music inspire me to move a little bit towards?
The music is very evocative. I would say it's like the experience of being on the ride.
Okay.
So we shouldn't listen to it.
No.
You should, but without the bad side effects.
Okay.
I don't need to put on my motion sickness patch to listen to it.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I'll plan around it. Hey, is there something that you think is interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you.
It's a way you can connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You can get help on your own time, your own pace. You can schedule it on video or even on your phone, or you could chat or even text to the therapist.
Yeah, they've got licensed professional counselors who are specializing in depression, stress, anxiety, relationship issues, family conflicts, sleep problems, anger, LGBT matters, grief. self-esteem problems, trauma, anything. And anything you share, of course, is confidential.
Now let's say you give it a try, and for some reason you're not happy with your counselor, no problem. You're going to request a new one anytime, no additional charge. They have 3,000 licensed therapists in the U.S. across all 50 states, and even worldwide. So you can text, you can chat, you can do phone or video, and you can start within 24 hours from now. You can start.
And there's a desktop version, there's a mobile web version, there's an Android app, an iOS app. You can start it up, schedule your sessions. Generally, you know, you like to do weekly, unless your therapist wants to schedule more. You know, if you need more, that's available too. Either, you know, video chat or just over the phone. Counselors have broad expertise across the network, which is a help, because the help you need might not always be available locally in person near you. So there's chances are there's somebody who is a specialist in what you need across the network. But it's important to note that it's not a crisis line.
It's secure, it's convenient, professional, and it's affordable. There is financial aid available for those who qualify, and Star Wars Minute listeners get 10% off your first month if you use the discount code SWM. Star Wars Minute, SWM. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/SWM.
That's right. You just go fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and then get matched with a counselor that you'll love. It's betterhelp.com/SWM.
Yes, Minute 101, your behavior is continually unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful musical cue.
Yes.
Do you think Alan Tudyk will we ever see him do an evil K2SO? Like, cool, you know, they're doing that Cassian TV show. And presumably, we can either meet K2SO before he was programmed or even meet other droids that of that same line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Alan Tudyk would do the voice or not. If we met one that hadn't been changed.
Because we do see ones in here, but they don't have any personality. Yeah, they're just kind of walking around.
I'm thinking very hard about this. Hmm. What if the series went in backwards chronological so they could just wait on the decision? I don't know if I want to see that.
The whole show or just evil K2SO?
Evil K2SO. Uh-huh. I mean, it's hard because as a fan, you have to toe the line, or I have to toe the line between wanting to actually see everything, like literally wanting to see everything, and versus giving that up to have a more curated experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pros and cons to both. And I think there's a reason like filmmakers and directors and et cetera give us a curated version to help us sort of pay attention to things. So, you know, if it serves the story in like a really great way, then sure. I think it all depends on how it's done, but not just as another detail so we can see everything.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think it's the beauty of the one of the benefits of the Disney Plus format is they can like kind of test things out, you know, and see like, okay, well, we had an idea for this. I'm not sure that it would necessarily float a whole thing, but it seems mostly idea based now. That they can, there's lower risks. They can be like, well, we had this cool idea. Let's try it out. Versus, you know, coming up with kind of, not that the saga has been, it had a lot of momentum. The films have had a lot of momentum. And so it would be harder for them to, I think, to step out of that and experiment with interesting, you know, with different stories rather than, kind of sticking to, you know, with the stakes lower, we can have more enjoyment. It's almost like low budget movies now. It's almost like indie movies that we can have on Disney Plus.
I feel like the stakes are lower than the Star Wars films, but higher than the average show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Clearly Star Wars fans are like insane.
Yeah. I would not want to like, I would think that they maybe do want to experiment, but are still very much like, we really want to make something that people will like.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And then Beach Battle.
What a great destination spot.
It's such a cool environment that we haven't seen, and we get the at acts.
At acts.
Do you suppose the commanding officer of that squadron was like at acts attacked?
Probably. We do. What does he say? He does say a line like, they open fire. He says something like that, but not.
They really? The Imperial?
Yeah.
But not from inside the. Oh, does he?
Yeah. The there's a quick guy? Shot of them in the cockpit of the. Is it called the cockpit of the walker?
The head.
The head. Okay.
Well, so I joke, but it does. It's very animalistic, the walker in this minute.
Because I was going to say this. It's amazing the characterization of that non-sentient being, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of the best. It's one of the most iconic, like, memorable things that just makes Star Wars so special, I think.
Hmm.
The
humanization of machines.
Yeah.
Right.
In general.
Yeah. I guess also the sound too. It's all, then it goes like it's almost like it's like a like yeah. a like a beast.
Yes.
So everyone's running away from the ad-acts, which makes sense. I think if I was on the beach, I would run. It seems like it would be easier to run past them.
I thought you were going to say you'd run into the water.
Oh, well, that would be past them, I guess. So I guess I would run into the water because it seems like once you get past them, they can't. There's no guns facing you, and that if they wanted to come back, it would take a long time to walk around. You
okay,
know.
But think of where everyone's from. Does everyone know how to swim?
I know how to swim.
Great.
I also know how to swim, yes.
I do not.
I grew up in a beach town.
Yeah. But you don't have to go so far as to the beach. You don't have to go into the water. You can just go literally under them.
I'm just
going to
swim away from the AT-ATs.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like...
You think they can swim? You know how elephants, if you put an elephant in the water, could you do that with an AT-ACT?
I feel like these ones, maybe not. But I think I have no doubt that they've developed them in the future.
Yeah.
I hope we get to see those.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. There was just some.
Maybe they'll be like amphibian shape. Maybe they'll have gills. Wait, no.
Like a whale.
Oh, ooh. A big giant frog. Maybe that's a thing. Or a big lizard.
Hop out of the water. That would be cool.
Ooh.
That would be jarring.
And then it has, webbed feet, and then it flies.
Oh, man. I like this.
Wow.
Oh, man, we're giving away so many million-dollar ideas. So the joke, the thing where he shoots the missile, and then it that seems like such an Indiana Jones-type gag of, like, doing something where you think it's going to be effective, and then you're like, what the hell? Like, that didn't even do anything. That's
true.
Not in a bad way. You know, it's a very Indiana Jones kind of...
And the music the music just repeats itself. It's just kind of... It's repeating the same motif over and over again. Which it kind of happens really throughout this whole scene, but also a little bit after, like in the master switch track, you just get a lot of like, you know, and that kind of to me is like, you know, when in the old cartoons when the characters would try to run away, but they're kind of just like in place.
Oh, right.
That's
right.
Like what that is to me. And that's happening as he has a gun.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So nice.
That's like me running away from the walkers, but on the water. And I'm like, my feet are going.
I don't swim. So I'm not running on the water. That's just not a thing I would do. I would want to run away from them. I'd be terrified of drowning. I'd be terrified.
You'd take your chances.
I don't want to be cornered on the water side.
That's true. Or even if you climbed and just like got on the foot, like climbed on top of the leg, so that it couldn't like do anything. It was like shake off.
Yeah. Couldn't or use its other one, just kind of scrape you off.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd be like a cat where it like clean its paws.
Another thing that I'd like to see is an AT-AT tongue.
Oh my God.
AT-AT tongue.
Oh, maybe it opened. Maybe it eats people, and there's like a trash compactor in there.
Oh, or that's how you get in. It swallows you, and then you're inside the
head. There you go.
With Pinocchio.
Oh my gosh.
Are we gonna showcase Rebels this week?
Wait, so the show?
The Rebels who are on the beach.
Oh, I don't know. We could. Who do you have in mind?
Well, there's one when after he launches the missile, there's one shot to one of the troopers who I think is a lady rebel trooper. And I was looking through the visual guide, and the only one I could think of is it could be Corporal Timker. Walia Timker.
Walia Timker?
W-A-L-E-A. How would you pronounce that? Walia?
Walia?
Well, Leia.
I like that.
Well, Leia Timker.
Well, Leia Timker.
What do they say about?
Well, she's a combat engineer. She arrived on Scarif with the arrival of the from Blue Squadron. Has Blue Squadron shown up yet?
Sure.
They have?
I think so.
She specializes in finding, improvising, and constructing temporary fortifications across a battlefield. It does not seem like it would come in especially handy in this
particular. Did you say fortifications?
Fortifications.
Okay.
Yeah. Given how much wreckage the Pathfinder kicks up in their initial incursion, she has lots of smoldering structures to choose from. There you go.
Oh, I see her now, yes.
Did we already ask you your cameo question? I don't remember when you were on last. If you could have a cameo in Star Wars, like you got to go on the set and you got to be in the film, what type of character would you want to be?
I actually have a detailed character in mind for who I would want to show up as, like maybe for an episode, in the Obi-Wan series.
Oh, okay.
I would like to write this character.
Is this your Disney? Is this your Galaxy's Edge persona?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It just started out as like, I don't know, a tweet. And then I was like, you know what I hope happens in this series? I was like, there should be, like when he's on Tatooine, there should be in the cantina, there should be like a musician who kind of plays something that looks like a violin and doesn't speak and is not like overtly dangerous or anything, but there's like she can like shoot stuff from her bow, but it's like a secret weapon. And Obi-Wan befriends her, and because she's a musician, she can tour around places like as a performer. And she is someone that he can, without drawing attention to himself, hitch a ride, like kind of be part of the act or be part of the thing. And that could be like his ticket to like making sure that he stays in touch with other planets if he wants, or like if he needs to do a side mission or whatever.
I love the idea of Obi-Wan joining a band while he's killing time on Tatooine.
Totally.
What would he play? What instrument would he play?
I think he should play like a classic kind of like dad style, like red Stratocaster.
Guitar,
just like Earth style. And it would just be like, really? Yeah. And it just look out of place, but it would be funny. It'd be perfect for that, like kind of, you know, Obi-Wan in his 40s.
I think he should be the singer.
Oh yeah,
singer. Can Ewan McGregor sing?
He was in Moulin Rouge.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go.
Wasn't he in some? What was that other? There was kind of a like a glam band thing. Velvet Goldmine. That was right.
What?
But did he sing in that? I don't know.
I never saw it.
Don't know. Never. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I like this idea. I like this your cameo.
You. Oh, yes. And she's a Claudite.
A Claudite? What is that?
Like a changeling, like Zamwizel.
Right.
like Zamwizel.
Hello.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I never remember remember.
I had like I was cycling but through my related. Knowledge of alien races in my head. I was like, that's not.
Well, they have to be related. Anytime you have two aliens of the same species, they have to be related to each other. So. Maybe it's Zams.
Maybe they find out later, but not that's not the premise.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
It's just another Claudite, because we need to see another one to
Well, it's also good that Obi-Wan became friends with one after the whole Zam was
out. Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So we're repairing so many things.
It's like, you know, is that
but it wasn't personal the first time. It's not like he didn't like Claudites.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what his policy was. All right, then anything else for minute 101?
I mean, I just love their shoulder pen protectors. They're whatever they're called, capsules. Is that what they are? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Data things.
Yeah.
Data canisters.
And it's like the more they have, the more important they are.
Right. Or the more important they think they are.
Yeah. Or the less organized their security is.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Just keep putting.
I love those. Yeah. They're amazing. They just look so cool. And also, I just want to shout out that brass moment where it just does it like a very gratifying like trombone slide. It's like it's a good brass moment.
Yeah,
I guess the trombone has that built-in kind of easy, you know.
It's like a very distinct interval. It's like a two, so it's not just like haphazard sliding.
Yeah,
it seems like he had a very clear idea in mind of what note to start on and what note to end on. And it's
a controlled descent.
It's a very, exactly.
All right, then I guess that'll wrap up minute 101. Chrysanthi, will you let us come back tomorrow?
Yes, because my cat Anakin seems to like you.
He does. Mm.
She.
Okay, so did you watch The Mandalorian?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of it?
I really liked it.
It seems like you were going to say loved.
I was going to say I especially loved the Deborah Chow episodes, which I didn't know in advance who was directing any of them, and they don't show the credit at the beginning. Right. It was just a coincidence that the ones where I was like, this is my favorite, this is my tied for favorite, this is my third tied for favorite, they were all that director. So
which ones were, I don't remember
they are number wise, but it was definitely the last episode, and it was also the one where he's getting his armor, like where they introduce the, where he's getting armor, like where everyone is like, this is kind of like a video game scene.
I think that's the one where at the end all the Mandalorians come out to help him.
Yes, that's the one where they establish this is the way.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And I think did she also do the kind of jailbreak one?
I think so.
Could be.
Yes. After that came my least favorite one, but yeah, I really like the series.
Hmm. After the jailbreak was your least favorite one?
No, sorry. After the this is the way, the one where the Spotchka one. The one where
with the village,
the village. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Yeah. I think that was
we can all agree.
That one had the worst music too.
Well, if you'd like to hear Pete and I go on at length about The Mandalorian, don't forget to check out our podcast, The Mindalorian, especially you Europeans who are just getting your Disney Plus right now. You can follow along with us week to week and hear our very valid and important opinions.
It's true. Presumably that we should drop a hiatus episode or so or two of that before the new season in October.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
committing it, putting it to ink.
Maybe once they do a trailer or something, that'll give us a...
Make your predictions. Do that for one of them.
Mine were very wrong throughout most of the show, I think. I was convinced that the Mandalorian was going to kill Baby Yoda by the end of the show, and that did not happen.
Your opinions on that podcast were very interesting to me because I'm not familiar with Westerns, but that was like the context you talked about it. And so I was just like, wow. Okay.
All right, everyone. So while you're doing that, listening to all those podcasts, we will be back tomorrow with another brand new Star Wars
Minute.